plagued a potential nugget.
And as a startup grows, Karthik, what have been your observations around inflection points where the organization begins to overtake the entrepreneur in terms of the leadership required, right? I guess in a lot of these situations, since you're betting on an exponential growth, there's risk of the business or the organization becoming too big for the person at the driving seat. Where do you see, is there a pattern around when that discontinuity starts getting amplified?
So, again, unfortunately, I think there are too many schools of thought. So I wish I could slot things and put a formula around it. I honestly still am struggling for it. And the legendary stories, right? Whether that's Steve Jobs or equivalent, you know, if you look at actually Musk's, Elon Musk's ventures, he's only built one from scratch. All the others, he's actually gone in as that guy who needs to be parachuted to take the idea to greatness. Even Travis, for that matter, in the Uber idea, you're not the original guy who thought of it. The idea was someone else's. So I think it's, therefore there are examples on all sides is what I'm trying to say. And then you take a Jobs who was a college dropout and then he got conflicted. He had a management style. He was never willing to reform. And then the guy will say, boss, you own X percentage of the company. The board runs the business. I will tell you how it should be run and kicks him out. So where's the playbook here? There's no playbook, right? I think what a good founder and good investor slash board should constantly educate and monitor is, should we keep looking for good people even ahead of their time? So you don't wait for inflection points to perfection. Then it always becomes contentious, is my view.
Understood.
Right? So if you think XYZ, and so your point around, you know, is it around a funding milestone? Is it around a revenue milestone? I wish it was so predictable only because the path of the startup itself has not become predictable in India. So then to try to build predictability around any of these is very, very difficult. So I'm not joking. I think I've noticed a lot of firms which go either a funding or a revenue or a growth spike and then actually flatten out for a bit because they're figuring all this out.
At some stage you say, maybe I should take care of the shop, right? And look inward and then...
So the board starts saying, what's going on? Who's fixing this? Then suddenly you get a sales head and realize that the co-founder is a great passion selling, one-off selling guy. Terrible sales process guy. And so suddenly you realize that sales just... By just fixing it with one guy and bringing process, it went 2x next year. Something as subtle as that, right?
Right.
So, but that's a lot of work. It took 1 year and 6 board meetings to convince the co-founder that he's just not cutting it. Right? So my point is, where is the, like, you
there's
know...
There's no pattern, right?
There's no milestone.
True.
It's a continuum.
Fair.
So all I'm saying is, as long as your capital can afford it, that's the other challenge. How much money do you have in the bank? Which kind of resources are you likely to pull? Who in the market is interested in joining you? Is such talent even available? Have they played the playbook that you're getting them to try and solve the playbook?
Fair.
Right? So all of this is evolving as we speak. In 2011, these were like, what are we talking about, boss? Let's just get to the next stage. Right? In 2015, we're saying, guys, XYZ Freshdesk has a playbook in this. Dhruva has a playbook in this, in enterprise. In consumer, 3 guys have built massive 100x scale in 3 years. Shopclues, delivery, whatever.
Sure. Right?
Let's go and talk to them. Let's go. So we have a company called Dunzo. Arguably, like, it's like a pre-A company. They've raised about 2 million, but it's like very tiny, right? What is 2 million? They hire us from Uber. Where was this guy 5 years ago? You would learn the job on your own, no? So I think it's a combination of the founders themselves scaling and recognizing where they're not able to scale, point A. And then the ecosystem giving you enough resources,
right?
Both in terms of capital and people. And when those choice sets all come together, the answers emerge. If the board and the driver and the founders are sleeping on the wheel, somebody will overtake you.
Okay.
Or you'll miss the growth, you know, boost that you could have got.
Right.
That's a trade-off. So So just that's what I'm saying. Now we begin to realize that you got to be so damn conscious of this well in advance.
Hmm.
So I'm seeing that in one company recently. I introduced them to like somebody who can be a powerhouse. Now that guy may not join them, but I'm opening five conversational paths open up.
Got it. You're seeding the thought right here.
So if you don't do it now, we won't even find the right person 1 year from now. That guy may join in 3 months and we might be home. But that's like asking for miracles.
And you're right. And it's just like how you spoke about hiring for Bloom. It's a journey. It's never a transaction over 3 months. It's a journey of engagement and chemistry.
We have a company called Belong, where Vijay is like obsessed about culture and fit and all of that. And that fellow will do like due diligence on everybody,
mm-hmm.
on every guy, on every employee, on every investor.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a dream. It may or may not be as relevant in the end state. But in his mind, that's the journey.
Fair.
So I wish everybody thought that way.
Mm.
It's not about filling spots. It's true. About filling, like, if you want to build a truly, truly great company, more of these ingredients are in place, the higher the probability. Somebody can turn around and say, no, I did it without all this bullshit. But the point is, you're reducing the odds. Fair. And that's all we're trying to do, always increase the odds.
Fair. And as you look at your portfolio of companies, again, we spoke about risk-reward. And finally, it's a portfolio approach, right, where if you make 10 investments, maybe a small fraction of them goes on to give you the returns, disruptive returns.
Yeah.
And if you look at the ones that don't, sort of, let's say if 2 out of 10 grow to give you disruptive returns, if you focus on the 8, is there any, again, patterns around what the bottlenecks are, which come in the way of them reaping these returns? I'm just taking numbers for the sake of conversation. But let's say out of 10 investments, if 1 or 2 really explode and give you the disruptive returns, the other 8, I guess, taper off from a growth curve at some point. I'm just curious about, you know, we can focus our attentions on the 1 and 2, on what worked well there. But sometimes there are lessons in the other 8 as well.
Absolutely.
Right? In terms of what didn't go well. So I'm just curious about...
Yeah. If there's I think all our learning comes from there. So the often repeated...
That's where the traffic is, right?
Yeah. And often repeated quote, right? I mean, it's not objective that you go and say, I'm a hedge fund, I can run this strategy and I can replicate the success. That's far more, you know, you can sit in a corner room and replicate that model. In this case, it's not. Organization building, I mean, replicate the same damn success in Delhi versus Bangalore is different.
Hmm.
Leave alone Valley here. Right? So you have to build a very different organization to build that same level of success. So I think that's lost on people.
Right.
Right. And therefore only the failures teach you very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, bloody hell, we've seen this pattern now in 3 cases. What went wrong? They hired the wrong person, or wrong co-founder fit, or wrong investor, wrong, you know, allocation of capital, blew up money too fast. Then you get to the business side and you say marketplaces where you subsidize, one side is okay, subsidize 2 sides is not. So you pick up a lot of nuanced learnings. And what I think as collectively we do is we all learn from it. We all discuss it in smaller teams. We don't publish as much.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time to. We are not building in the 70s like the Valley was. Even if the 70s, if you learned it, how would you even talk about it? Probably in a club dinner, right?
Mm.
Literally would have had to say Saturday, first Saturdays, let's gather and chat.
Right.
Look at the choices you have. And people seem to be afraid. People seem to be hesitant. It's changing. There are people who blog about it. There are people who talk about it. Very early days.
Mm.
So a healthy debate is the best way the ecosystem as a whole will learn. And it's not a bad thing because the entrepreneur has to be conscious of this before getting into the journey.
Right.
After them repeating the same mistakes which were done 5 years ago. This is embarrassing. That means we are not evolving. And all of us need to evolve.
And if you look at that pie chart of, let's say, the 8 failures, just to push that further,
yeah.
Are there any predictable patterns in terms of what that breaks into?
No, it's
I guess I'm seeing too much predictability.
It's broadly the same 3 buckets, which are selection criteria buckets.
Hmm.
That's where it breaks. It can't be different from that.
Hmm,
selection criteria buckets are 3 pronged. Market opportunity.
Yeah.
Founder plus team.
Yeah.
And in India, we changed it from the idea/product. It has a role, but I would put that into the team bucket
yeah.
and say, do they have the capability to build a great product and leave it there?
Hmm.
The third bucket, interestingly, is the market opportunity for the business was one thing, the structure of the venture capital market dictates success failure too. Mm-hmm. And we put a healthy 20% weightage on that. It's 40-40-20. So if you look at failures, it's arguably disproportionately actually in that venture capital bucket, because you fund a niche here, you won't get funded in the next round, right? If you build a sub optimal $50 million business, which in the US would have got acquired for $50 million, in India somebody will pay $5 for it.
Very interesting.
So you can claim that it failed, but the reality might be it was a good product, limited base, was successful. It was not viable to bootstrap itself to a $50 million level, either because it's a consumer business which wasn't making money, or the founders got tired because they were waiting 4 years and they got $1 million or $2 million in revenue. Nobody was giving them money. They got tired of bootstrapping. So when you look at the reasons, it'll always fall in one of these three buckets.
True.
Within them, there'll be 5-6 sub-variants.
That's fair.
The point Karthik makes about hiring ahead of the curve is an interesting one. I remember reading about how Mark Zuckerberg hired Sheryl Sandberg into Facebook. They met socially sometime in 2007, and then they met for a series of dinners for weeks, sometimes once or twice a week, till they decided to join forces. In my work, I find the great leaders to be in the flow of good people. One of the leaders I worked with would have regular breakfasts with good talent that's doing well wherever they are, and get to know them. When they hit a turbulent patch, he would quickly get them on board. It's very similar to having a nuanced view on a stock, and when the market undervalues the stock temporarily, you move in for the kill. Great leaders, I find, are able to think ahead of the curve and invest in these conversations to enlist other great leaders on their journey. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.